podcasting brought to you by New Constructs, an independent investment research firm committed to helping our clients invest wisely and confidently. Visit newconstructs.com or tweet us at New Constructs. Here's your host, investor and market veteran, David Trainer.
Hi, this is David Trainer. Today I'm here to talk to you about how balance sheets can be misleading and how that can potentially blow up your portfolio. First, I want to remind you of all the ways you can access our research. First, newconstructs.com, click on the research section, tons of free research, tons of white papers on all kinds of adjustments, things we do, presentations we've made to institutional investors, regulators, you name it. Also, Twitter, Facebook, StockTwits, all these things you can access us very easily. Please feel free to sign up for free and get access to a lot of the information that we're giving. We are very transparent about the work we do because we want you to know how much work we do for you. Now let's talk about balance sheets. Right? We make more adjustments to the balance sheet than anybody in the business. And you look at other data providers, people who sell data, you can't even make the adjustments on the balance sheet based on their data. They don't do it for you. You've got to build your own models. You've got to collect your own data to do this kind of work. And you know what? It matters. We've done presentations to regulators showing that this work that we do is often a leading indicator to fraud and or bankruptcy. We're seeing things that other people don't look for because you know what? Most people don't pay attention to the balance sheet. All the way back to 1996 when I was working on Wall Street, a guy named Michael Mobison, he wrote a report called Plus ça change, plus c'est pareil. I know my French accent isn't very good, but the takeaway of the or the title of the report meant the more things change, the more they stay the same. And in the end of that report, he pointed out how analysts can gain an advantage by focusing on balance sheets because most people don't look at balance sheets. That was 1996, and the same is true today about 20 years later, all right? The balance sheets matter. We find major adjustments. For example, and I'm going to talk to you about adjustments that we've made in the 2015 filing season, okay? This is the time of year, here in the middle of March, when most of the fiscal year end, December fiscal year end companies are filing their 10-Ks, and they're coming in droves right now. We're talking about digesting tens of thousands of pages of information every day by my team and our technology. And if you want to know more about our technology, listen to another podcast. I've talked about that. Technology is key to going through filings because you know what? It is so mind-numbingly boring to do it as a human that you can't do it well. And I know because I've done it more than just about anybody else. And that's why I designed technology, because I figured it would never be done if the technology wasn't there to save us. To save us from the things buried in filings. And by the way, advisors, regulators care about this diligence now. They know it's possible. I know because I talk to them. They expect a higher level of service these days. They expect a better communication of risk. And the only way you can really adequately and truly know the risk of an investment is if you're looking through the footnotes and the MD&A, also known as management discussion and analysis. So let's talk about some adjustments we're making to the balance sheet. Let me just highlight one we made last year. Unisys Corporation, ticker UIS, recorded a $4.1 billion loss on its benefit plan as part of other comprehensive income slash loss on the balance sheet in 2014. If this loss had not been treated as an equity loss and recorded in invested capital, all right? So in other words, we added that $4.1 billion back. Right? Without that piece of information in the balance sheet, the return on invested capital would have jumped to 10%. With that chunk of money back in the balance sheet where it would deserve to be, return on capital is actually 3%, far below the cost of capital, 9%. And not surprisingly, the stock's down 30% year to date. All right? Markets know eventually. Maybe they don't know right away. Maybe not everybody's reading the footnotes. The big smart money is. The insiders know. Right, the insiders are helping write the footnotes half the time, right? So you should know too. And with our service, there's no excuse now not to know, all right? We're $49 a month to start. That's a small price. It's a small price to pay if you're investing any meaningful amount of money, small price to pay something for insurance against what's going to blow you up in the footnotes or red flags in the footnotes. So we did a report. As I mentioned in my prior podcast, we did a report on sort of how what's called balance sheets don't always tell the truth. It's on the research section of our site. You can access it, and it highlights 11 instances. I don't know why we chose 11, but the top 11 list of companies who've already filed for 2014 with the largest adjustments to their balance sheets across the 11 main adjustments we make. That's why we did the top 11, because we focused on the 11 key adjustments we make. I should probably know that, right? Anyway, that's what reports are for, so I go back and reference that stuff. I don't always remember the number of adjustments. I just know we make them all. Anyway, so I'm going to highlight a few of these on the podcast today, and then I'm going to let you go in and access the report and see it for yourself in more detail, because I think it's more interesting for you to see it for yourself than for me just to read it from the page. But let's take Freddie Mac, ticker for FMCC. $21.7 billion in off-balance sheet reserves added back. That's 11% of their balance sheet. How about AT&T? $25 billion in off-balance sheet debt. 8% of their balance sheet. That's a pretty big adjustment. Here's a big one. IBM, accumulated other comprehensive income, removed 24% of their balance sheet. Time Warner, write-downs, $113 billion over time. That isn't all in 2014, 180% of their balance sheet. Remember, write-downs are where companies go through and say, oh, we paid $100 for this asset, and after depreciation a couple years later, oh, well, you know, it's $80 on the books, but you know what? It's actually only worth 70 now, so we're going to write off 10. That's what a write-down effectively means. That is a direct hit to shareholder equity and a direct hit to investor pocketbooks. Also, it basically shows that management cannot create value because they are in the process of destroying value. As an agent of your capital, management's purpose in life is to take your capital and make more with it, not less. So management teams that are writing down assets, you want to look out. And we've actually found that huge amounts of write-down can be a leading indicator to fraud. All right, so you want to look out because they're probably not going to create shareholder value and they may be fraudulent businesses. Those are some of the major adjustments we're making to the balance sheets for companies. We've got what I mentioned, four or five. We've got six or seven more that you can check out here on the blog. A lot of these are big name companies: Facebook, Apple, J.P. Morgan, GM. You want to check this out. And you know, again, we are highly transparent about the work we do here. We want you to know in the adjustments. Most of my competitors in this business, they want to be secret about the adjustments. Oh, we want to show you that because it's proprietary. You know what? It doesn't need to be proprietary. I publish this stuff because I want you to see how much work we do for you. By the way, I don't need it to be proprietary. I want you to know what it is because I know it's too much work for you to do. Yeah, you might be able to do this work on a couple of companies, but not on 3,000. No one else can. We know that. So we can be transparent because it's our way of effectively flexing our analytical muscles to show you all the work we do. And anyone who's not willing to be transparent, it's because it's not they don't want to be transparent about the work they're doing. They don't want to be transparent about the work they're not doing. They may be making that adjustment partially for one company or maybe for a handful of companies, but they're not doing it across 3,000. I can guarantee you that because I know the other competitors in my business. I know they're using database feeds, and they don't have the quality of data we have.